This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, I just confess that you for the vision for here. Thank you for your presence. We can be here as family, Lord, and I just want to thank you that we have strength in our legs, we have strength in our arms, we have strength in our hands, and most importantly, Father God, we have strength in our hearts and in our voices.
Sharing testimony
remember sitting there and everybody was sharing, like there was this one word that kept on coming out, and that was that the more they got into a relationship with God, the more alive they started feeling, and the more they came to life, the more understanding there was. And I was just reminded about that happening in worship as well. When we come here on a Sunday, and sometimes our hearts aren't prepared, sometimes we're ready, sometimes, you know, we're just all over the place and we need to, like, come to this place. and we need to come make a decision sometimes to step into His presence, to step into what this is happening right now. Because we can just as well stand here and, you know, if you know all the songs, you can just sing them, and there's nothing happening inside. There's not aliveness like some of them were sharing this morning. And so this morning, I want to challenge you guys to come with us, to come with God. And He's waiting for us. We're not here to wait on Him and to be like, okay, God, when are you going to come show yourself? When am I going to start feeling better about what I'm doing? No. It's really a decision right now to step out and to be like, God, I'm gonna go deeper. I'm going to sing these songs with everything I have in me. I'm going to sing it so that I understand the words I'm saying. Because these words are powerful. The words that we just sang, also the ones that we're going to sing. Our God is a lion. He's a lion of Judah. He's roaring with power. He's fighting our battles. Every knee we will bow before Him. You know, like, we're singing these amazing words. And if we're not switched on, if we're not saying, okay, God, I want to feel that life that you bring. If we don't come and say, okay, I'm choosing to step into it, to dig into you. I promise you, you will walk out here and it will not have done anything to us. And it's not because He's not here. It's because we're not here. So let's close our eyes in this prayer. And if you are willing, and if you are up for it, let's make that decision this afternoon to step in, to dig deeper, and to really commit to singing these songs with our spirits and being alive. And so, Father, I just want to pray that as we stand here, Father, some of us are more tired than others. Some of us are, we know where we're at, Father. And we just want to pray, Lord, that that you can help us to be available to what you want to do in this place, Father God. Just the fact that so many things were going wrong technically, and the weirdest things were not happening, and the weirdest things were happening, Father. And we just know that when that happens, the enemy is trying to stop you from performing something that you want to do in this place today, Father. So we just want to say, Father, that we open up our hearts, Lord. We open up this room, Father God. The sound can go off, the things can go crazy, the words can go away, Father God. But we're choosing right now that we want to dig into you, Father God. We want to dig into your presence, Lord. Help us to be here. Help us to understand what you're doing. Help us to hear what you want to say, Father God. And help us to utter these words with everything in our soul, with understanding, with knowing what they mean, Father God. Let us realize what we're singing into the atmosphere, Father. And help us to do it, Father, with the joy in our hearts. Because you have saved us, Father, from the darkest depths. You have taken us from the most dangerous places. And you have restored us, Father God. You have called us back into your kingdom, into your arms, Father. And we just thank you that we can come and we can give you back the glory that you deserve, Father. We can exalt you, Father. We can sing. We can move. We can lift up our hands. We can bow down onto our knees, Father. We can declare that you are the God above all. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are our Sovereign. You are our Lord. You are our Bridegroom, Father God. We're here, Lord. We're ready. In Jesus' name.
Bye. glorified in my thoughts. Not only today, this week, well into the years to come. Most of you have seen over the weekend, and it was awesome to be able to spend time with his family and know a little bit more about each other. You also must have seen certain things from me and Renee, so you also know more about us. That's good. That's actually what it is about, because there's nothing that we are ashamed of. We're children of the Lord, and we are perfect. It doesn't matter. We're children of the Lord, and that's what we would like to share. Today is going to be a sermon which is going to be a little bit different than what we call the normal sermon. The weekend has been more about sharing the relationship what I've got with God. I would like to share it with somebody else as well. So it's not going to be that you're going to have a relationship with God, and then you're going to sit in the corner and wait till Jesus is going to come back for the second time. No. You're going to share. That's what the Bible says we've got to do. And then the testimony says that you want to also quite just now is that, yeah, this morning that people could make testimonies and share the testimonies, and some of them are going to rewrite it again, and they're going to rewrite it again, and they're going to rewrite it again, because as things are happening, but it's also going to be as we get busy with telling your testimony, that sometimes you're going to add something to it, and sometimes you're not going to. You're going to keep something back because you do not feel that it's going to be appropriate to mention it to that person. Today I'm going to talk about three things: prayer, fasting, and communion. And as we are sitting over here and we are not eating, we are already fasting. A little bit later we are going to pray and we are going to have communion as well. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you beforehand what is going to happen so that there's no surprises at the end then. I'm just quickly going to share a little bit about prayer, about fasting, and about communion, what it actually is. We're going to have a look at a video clip from Heinrich. Heinrich Titus, who is the head pastor of and the leader of the Shofar group. And then we're going to split up in small groups, two, three, maximum four. We're going to pray. There are a few prayer points what we're going to have. And then the idea is that we're going to pray. Because all the Shofar congregations today, and if you can imagine yourself and you would see the globe, you would see all the Shofar churches who are praying, and all of them would be alive, then there's going to be a decent light when we pray. Because we're serious about our relationship with God. And that praying is going to be repeated again in August, in the first weekend in August. We're going to do exactly the same again. We're also going to have fasting and the praying. The fasting. Praying is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will. So if the things are not agreeable to his will, we do not bring them to God. So if you're looking for a rat in sealers, but the rat in sealers is not going to bring anyone to heaven, please do not pray for it. Also not for a green one, but it's not necessary, you don't need it. But if you say, Lord, can I have an opportunity that I can speak to my neighbor or to a colleague next to me, that I can share, that I can make contact? I'm praying for that opportunity. And you're praying in the name of Christ, because through Christ we've got access to the Father. With confessions of our sins, in our prayers as well, we've got to repent. Repent of the things that we've done wrong, because we continuously are doing things wrong. And it's not a matter of that at a certain time when you become pastor, that you don't sin anymore. No, you still sin. You still make mistakes. And you still have got to go on your knees and you still have got to ask for forgiveness. And it will carry on. And it doesn't matter. I'm happy to do that. Because God will give each and every time you go for forgiveness as well. And then be thankful. Acknowledgement of the mercies. You can see what we actually got from God. And you can count the blessings we give God. We didn't know how to use it, didn't know how to work. And the final end, it worked. And the worship that we had was awesome. And the four of you playing together is, you know, you're automatically qualifying for next Sunday. You don't have to subscribe, you don't have to apply. You automatically go through the next one. And Jesus is telling people how they should pray in Matthew 6. And when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corner of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. We are going to stand on the corner and start praying, that other people must see us and say, okay, well, that's now a godly person, and I want to know more about this God. That's not where we pray. When are we going to pray? That's what the next part says, that when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And that intimacy of being with a person in a room, and you can speak to that person, and you can tell what's in your heart, and you can express your feelings with your God. You can cry if you want to, you can laugh, you can sing. And you can hear his voice. And to know that it is God, the creator of heaven and earth, with whom you're communicating. That's something so precious. That's something so special. I didn't have it in the first part of my life, but later on, yes. And it's precious. And sometimes I need it. No, I miss it. I've got to make time for it. And it's necessary to do it. Praying is communicating with God. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens are doing, for they think that they will be heard for many words. Duplicating exactly the same thing again, and asking and asking and asking. No, it's not necessary. If I ask for a lady to make me a cup of coffee, and hopefully she will make it for me, I don't want to send it 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. She says, yes, she will do it. And that is with God as well. If we can bring our heart's desires, we can bring it to God. Yes, if it's really on your heart that you would like to speak to that neighbor, and you pray each and every day and say, Lord, I'm waiting for it for the opportunity. Yes, you can do that. But to make it only part in your prayer, no. There can be other parts in the prayer as well. But we don't have to have a whole list and say, okay, now it's time that I'm going to speak to God. Point one finished, point two finished. No. Pray as what you feel the Holy Spirit is putting on your heart, that you would like to communicate with God. And then just after that, Jesus is telling them to the disciples, this is how you should pray. And then he says, Our Father. And that for me is always the most beautiful part, actually. He says, Our Father. He says to his disciples, the ones who've been following him, it's Our Father. It's not that he says, it's my Father, and he says, it's Our Father. And that is, it's awesome that we can call the Creator of heaven and earth. We can call him our Father. One person says, when I'm praying, I'm never praying longer than 30 minutes. And there's never a period of 30 minutes gone when I'm not praying. That's actually a very nice way of saying it. So, which means that it's nearly half an hour that he's praying. And he's not praying for half an hour, but he's praying. So he's continuously communicating. He's sending messages up and down. If you take a look at the back of your computer when it's connected up to the internet, you see that line flashing to as messages and doctors receive up and down, up and down. This guy is also communicating with God continuously. So there's not a half an hour on. He's not communicating with God. The next part, fasting. Unfortunately, it isn't the Bible. So we've got to do it. But then I've got a description for fasting, which is going to make it, I think, a little bit more acceptable. Fasting is a voluntary going without food or any other regular enjoyed good gift from God. And I think you can put anything in it. If you know that you are actually addicted to your Facebook, stop it for 3 days and show it to God that you can do without it. Can you fast on your Facebook? It could maybe be that you said, okay, I've got it myself. If I'm skipping 3 meals in a row, then I really can feel it in my body. And I'm not a very nice person anymore, and I make mistakes and all those type of things. And when I was at the workplace, and I sometimes made wrong decisions as well, then you're a little bit hesitant. And I think it's not good that I'm fasting and working at the same time, or I must do something else. I'm fasting at a certain period, then, and it's not going to have an effect on my work. That is totally open. Some people are fasting one meal, some people are fasting a certain type of food which you really, really like. It could maybe be that you're eating a piece of chocolate each and every day. Fast it. Stop the piece of chocolate and 3 days. And let's have a look. Because you're fasting for the sake of some spiritual purpose. Because there's something that you're actually focusing on. You say, okay, but this is what I really would like to intercede for. This is what I would like to pray for. This is what I would like to fast for. It is a type of a goal that you write down. What you're going to focus on. We're going to come back to that just now. And fasting is exactly the same. It's exactly the opposite of what the world is telling us. The world is telling us you must grab everything. You must go for everything that you can get. You must skip one day with chocolate, but you must take a chocolate in the morning and in the afternoon. Dark chocolate. And Facebook, they will tell you how many times you went onto the Facebook. So you want to increase and say that you haven't visited Facebook for a day or whatever, and they will send you a message. And I don't know what is all happening and so on and so on. This is what the world is telling us. But we need to put ourselves away from it and say, okay, look, I can do without it. I can do, if it's without food, if it is without coffee, if you are addicted to coffee, do not stop suddenly with coffee. And it just takes 2 or 3 days because you need to get a terrible headache. I know it because I have a problem. So yes, that is what fasting is concerned. What did Jesus say about fasting a little bit later after he spoke to them about the Our Father? And in Matthew 6 he comes on and says, moreover, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites. It is sad countenance, for they disfigure their face, that they may appear to be men be fasting. So they were actually showing the other people that they were fasting. So the expression on their face was telling them, and they also must not be telling other people, I'm fasting now for a certain purpose, so please take me into consideration because I'm now busy with a godly thing. This is not what Jesus said that we should be doing. Surely, I say to you, they bear reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, which means that you look good. The male people shave for those who shave. Michael knows the message. But just look good. And if you're wearing a lipstick, then put a lipstick on. And I say, okay, I'm fasting now today, and I'm not going to put a lipstick on. So be normal. Nobody can actually see that there's something awkward happening or whatever. So that you not appear to men, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you not appear to men to be fasting, but that your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in a secret place, will reward you openly. So we can see exactly that duplication, actually, what Jesus already said about the prayer, he's saying it and repeating it over here again, the fasting as well. God is seeing us in a secret place. God can see it, what you do. You don't have to tell all the people what you're fasting for. If they ask you, you can maybe tell them that you're fasting. Or if they ask and say, okay, but what was difficult to fast? And what type of fast have you been? What was difficult for you? Because there are plenty of them. And I think the main thing is, this is where are you actually fasting for? And what are you prepared to say, okay, God, I'm prepared to stop this thing for 3 days. And then focus on, because what is happening when I'm fasting as well, and if I feel and sometimes hear my tummy, and I know I've got to start praying, then I start praying for what I'm fasting for. And when I'm busy then with praying, you actually, mentally actually forget, because your focus is taken away again. Drink maybe a glass of water, maybe a cup of tea or anything like that, and then you carry on with the day. Prayer, fasting, and now we come to the communion. Communion is an ordinance of the Lord. It has been put into place by Jesus, and it's done with a certain purpose, and it has got value. And we're going to do it as well. We as Shofar Church, we all suggest it. It's not compulsory. It's in every Sunday of the month, first Sunday of the month, we are having communion. And it's just reminding again what Jesus has been doing. He gave everything. Life. You've never been in such a situation that we have to give our life to save somebody else. But Jesus has done it for us. And that bread and that wine is reminding us of what he has been doing. Communion is an ordinance of the Lord in which gathered believers eat bread, signifying Christ's body given to his, for his people, and bring the cup of the Lord, signifying the new covenant in Christ's blood. We do this in remembrance of the Lord and thus proclaim his death until he comes. And those who eat and drink in worthy manner partake is Christ's body and blood, not physically, spiritually, and that by faith they are nourished in the benefits he obtained through his death and thus grown in grace. We've got to do it in worthy manner. The people in Corinthians, they made a meal of it. So they must probably have bread, and they must probably have crunchy peanut butter, and maybe they had haferslag. I don't know what they had on the bread over there, and they even brought wine and so on and so on. At the final end, the guys were drunk. I mean, they were communion. This is not what's communion about. For them, it was just communion about themselves. What could they get out of it? Communion is just a remembrance again. That is the most important thing. Matthew 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread. He blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take it, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood, the new covenant, which I shed for so many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it new with you. My Father's kingdom. I want to repeat the last sentence again. This is Jesus saying to his disciples that this you is your name as well. I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it new with you. And then you can fill in your name. The next time Jesus is going to have fruit of the vine again. It's along with us. It's along with us. Then he's going to come. This is what he says over me. In my Father's kingdom. Then it's going to be going to do together. What type of party we're going to have, what type of meal we're going to have, I don't know. But one thing that we're going to have a drink of the fruit of the vine. That's what we're going to have. Because baptism of the Lord is telling us. And we're going to have it along with Jesus, and we're going to be at home in heaven. And we're going to enjoy it. And that's something we're really looking forward to. That's such an awesome place. You get people who are selling mattresses in a sense from 7th Heaven and so on. I'm not really coming close to it. Heaven is going to be beautiful. God's been creating that part where he's busy with the heaven for 2,000 years plus. All of the earth is in 6 days, so which means that it is going to be beautiful over there. So what are we going to get if we're going to get a house with a sea view or something? It's going to be beautiful. It's God's. And that is what the most important thing. And then it's not going to be that you're going to speak to him in a secret place anymore. Then we're going to be face to face. There's no electricity over there. God's presence is going to light up the place. That's going to be awesome. We're now going to have a look at the video clip of Heinrich. He's going to talk about the global prayer. And then afterwards, I'm going to ask that we're going to split up in groups of 2 to 4 people maximum. And ideally, it will be people who you do not know too well. And it's not a matter of, but it is an opportunity again, because you can pray together. And it sometimes also makes you a little bit more bold. If you're prepared to put something on the table and pray for something, when you maybe are a little bit afraid for if you've got other people. We're going to pray for a few points over there, but I will come to you just now. It's just a little bit new.
What a great joy to be able to speak to all of you on a very special day. That when we, as a Shofar family, coming together, different nations, so many different congregations spread out across the globe, and just to share a couple of thoughts just a few things that always laid on my heart concerning where I believe we need to be focusing our prayer and our spiritual energy on during this time of consecration and just realigning ourselves with God's purposes for our lives. And I'm going to read for us today from the book of Ephesians, the third chapter. And then Paul here writes to the Ephesians and he says, "For this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so he starts off at a place where I believe we need to be starting off when we're consecrating our hearts to the Lord and we're spending some time praying today and into the rest of this week and this month. First and foremost, we've been brought together, spread out across the globe by our love for the Father. We're bound together by the fact that we serve one God. And I want to encourage you during this time that you would just realign your focus. Take your eyes off man. Take your eyes off things that are happening around you in the world. Maybe things that you're struggling with on a personal level. But as we come together, let's bow our knee. Fasting without us yielding to God really has got no purpose. And so before we start praying for things and for circumstances to change and for the Lord to do stuff in us and through us, let's come in worship before God. And Paul says, actually, at the beginning of that verse, he says, "For this reason I bow my knee." And it's important for us to understand what this reason is, because he goes into a time of prayer and he says, "I'm praying a couple of things for you for a particular reason." And that reason we find in verse 10. And he says that the purpose is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might now be made known to the angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers in the heavenly sphere. And so he conveys this great truth to us and it's this, that God has locked the revelation, the manifestation of his wisdom, what Paul calls the manifold wisdom, the many-sided wisdom, the intricate wisdom, the complicated wisdom even he calls it. God has locked that revelation, he's locked the revelation into the church. And he says, it is for this purpose that God has brought us together. It's for this purpose that we are praying, because God has chosen to reveal his wisdom to the church. And I want to encourage you that as we pray, we'll hold that purpose before us. It's a great purpose. It's a purpose that binds us as Shofar together with other parts of the body of Christ as well. It's a purpose that goes beyond our own individual mission statements, our own individual priorities for our local congregations, our regions, our families. And the purpose is this, that Christ now doesn't walk around in the face of the earth in flesh and bone as one individual. He now walks around in us, fallen humanity, broken humanity, but yielded to His Spirit. And so that's the point of departure for us as we fast and as we pray. And then Paul continues and he says, he bows his knee before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. And so God is our Father. God is the one, according to Paul here, that every family in heaven and earth is named by the Father. And we're shofar, we've been named by Him. We get our name from our Heavenly Father. And we're part of a beautiful body of Christ. And I want to encourage you during this time, we're going to pray for many shofar congregations. And together with your pastor and the elders and the leaders in your congregation, you're going to decide which churches to pray for. We've got some congregations that are struggling numerically or struggling financially. And I want to encourage you to pray for them, to seek the face of the Lord for them, and that you will, together with your leadership, think of practical ways in which you can manifest that love towards them. And I want to urge you that you would pray for another local congregation within your community that isn't a shofar church. Pray for them. Pray that God will bless them. Pray that salvations will take place. Pray that there will be financial breakthrough in their lives. And then we are going to pray for the rest of our shofar family. And then the crux of the matter is, Paul says this, I pray that He might grant you out of the rich treasury of His glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit Himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. And I'm fully convinced that during this time when we will be sort of having the outer flesh die, so to speak, then God would come and He would strengthen us in the inner man. And I believe with everything inside of me that this is the year in which God wants to grant us great strength so that we will be able to blow the shofar again, be the prophetic voice that God has called us to be, but a prophetic voice that speaks about God's love, God's forgiveness, God's reconciliation, God's justice. And so I want you to pray for yourself. I want you to pray for your pastors. I want you to pray for those around you. And God will give us a new strength. And it's a strength that isn't rooted in our circumstances. It's a strength, according to Paul, that's rooted in the great treasury, the riches of God's glory. So we're going to take our eyes off the natural things around us during this time. We're going to focus them on God. We're going to focus on who He is. And out of that position, we're going to pray in faith for God to do the impossible things again. And then he says, may Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make His permanent home in your hearts. So when we pray, let's pray for the tangible presence of God. That our church services will be saturated with God's presence. That our homes will be filled with His presence. That our conversations in the car, that conversations around the coffee table will be saturated and filled with the presence of God. As I've just become aware, more and more likely, I can't change anyone. No sermon can, no song can. It's just the presence of God. So let's contend for that. He continues and he says, may you be rooted deep in love and founded secure in love. So let's pray for one another. That we will be known for love. He says, and that you may be rooted in love and known for love. And then he says, beyond being rooted in His love, it goes on. Then he says, that you may have the power and be strong to comprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of that love? That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. That you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, and may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded God Himself. He said, are you rooted in love? Thank God for it. And then he says, trust God for more. Trust God for even greater revelation. And I'm so blessed with what he says, and together with all of the saints. So in other words, we're going to pray for one another, just there we are now in church service. We're going to pray for one another in small group. I believe there's a depth of God's love we cannot understand if we just live for ourselves. So we're going to pray that none of us get left behind during this time. We're going to pray that all of us receive a fresh revelation of His love and then we will have a revelation that is not based upon just knowledge, but a heart revelation. You can pray the spirits. Paul says that you will know, not just that you will hear about it, not just will believe without experiencing it, but that you will know it and you will experience it. And I'm trusting God that the revelation of His love will not be limited to just one generation, but from the youngest child in your congregation, the oldest person there, and everyone in between, that we will showcase, reveal, and impart the love to one another. And to Him may all the glory. Not to any one of us, not to any one of us as leaders, but to God. Because we belong to no man, but to Christ, Christ alone. Thank you for being part of this beautiful church family. Thank you for taking the time out to pray, for Nikki and myself and the rest of the apostolic leadership. Thank you for continuing to walk humbly with your God. The Lord bless you, we love you, and we pray that you will go from strength to strength, faith to faith, and glory to glory in this beautiful year of 2018. Bless you. Bye-bye.
Before we go into split them up in small groups, if I maybe can just get the Denise, or you amazing. Awesome. That one is just showing the amount of shofar churches at the moment globally. So they're all in South Africa, there are quite a few of them in South Africa. In East Africa, it is a whole group of churches, but they just put shofar Bruni over there. Southeast Eastern Africa, it's in Malawi, exactly the same. We're on the left corner over there. And in England, there are two, and in Namibia, there are also three shofar churches over there. I'm just mentioning it. If it is that the Holy Spirit is putting one of those churches in your heart, let's say you're coming out of Africa and you say you would like to pray for the shofar churches in Burundi, then you know there is a shofar church over there, then you can pray for it. It is, I'm just showing it so that all of you are aware of it. Next slide. Right. So what I'm going to ask you, this one will remain on the screen. You're going to pray for your nation. But I'm going to ask you, it's up to you. If you're in the Netherlands at the moment, only for a short period, but you are in other country out of the world and you would like to pray for that specific nation, then you can pray for that nation. If you're going to pray for the Netherlands, please keep in mind that we're going to have local elections a little bit later this month. And it has got an influence as well. You can pray that Christian parties, which are already part of the government at the moment, that they're going to become larger and larger in the local governments as well, that there will be a Christian voice speaking up when they want to take certain actions or make certain decisions. Then pray for a local church in your area. We are the body, as what Heinrich just now explained as well, is that we're part of the body. So we're not the only ones who are going to bring people together. There are other churches as well. Let's pray with other churches. And if there's a specific church where you know of in Utrecht, then you can pray for it. And otherwise, then just pray for other spiritful churches that they also can experience it, that people are coming, that they will have the opportunity to share the gospel with them. Pray for Shofar Church as a movement. Then pray also for Shofar Utrecht. That we also can be a place where people can come, where they can find a family, and that we can really be an international family church out here. And then the last one is, pray for one thing for yourself. And in this one, really let the Holy Spirit tell you. And it could be a family member who's not saved. If you would like to pray for that specific person, then you can pray for that person. It maybe could be that there's a relationship that you've got with one of your family members which is not very healthy at the moment, and you want to pray about it, then you can pray about it. It could maybe be that there's somebody sick in your family which you would like to pray about, and you can do that. It could maybe be that you're busy with an application for work somewhere, and you pray about it. The others in your group, they can pray in agreement with you, with the situation that you're on at the moment. And then if we come to the fasting as well, we'll be asking them that you're going to start with it tomorrow morning, and then which is going to be broken then Wednesday evening at the small group. For those who have got a small group on Thursday evening, there's an additional day of fasting. Okay, so that joke I should go make. All of us are going to breakfast on Wednesday evening. And if you're not part of a small group, then wherever you are and what you do is just take something to eat and to drink. And you know, do communion, that you break your fast at that time as well, knowing that there are other church members who are doing it at the same time and breaking your fast. And this is something which, yes, we at least as church are going to do it twice a year. And I would actually recommend it to you that if you're not in that position of doing it, then bring it into your life. If you've got important decisions that you've got to make, fast. Put something aside and say, Lord, help me with this one. I can't do it on my own. And then pray and fast. And trust that the Lord is going to help me. Then I'm going to ask if you can split up 2, 3, 4, maybe grab a chair, go and sit somewhere over there. You're going to get the communion, the symbols. I'm going to ask you to do it on your own. I'm just going to finish off with the prayer now. And then I'm just going to let it go as what it goes. If Lani and Michael feel it a certain time and glad to come and still play one or two songs, then they can do it. That's not really critical. The most important thing is that you're going to be together and then we're going to pray. We're going to pray about these 4 points. And it maybe is going to be that not all 3 or 4 of you in the group are going to pray for all 4 points, maybe only for 2 or 3. Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege that we can communicate, that we can pray with you, that we can tell you what is on our heart. And then the first thing is we just want to glorify you, we want to just thank you and say, Lord, that you're so great and that you're so awesome and you spend time with us and that you create your heaven and earth. What we even cannot understand, you're above time, another thing which we actually cannot understand, but that you are interested in us. You want us to be with you forever and ever. We thank you for this, Father. And we thank you for the opportunity that we're now going to have, each and every person to pray, to communicate with you, and also to have communion together, that we can be reminded again of what Jesus has been done. What Jesus has been doing for us at the cross. He died so that we can live. He died for our sins so that we do not have to be judged for our sins anymore, that we are free. And we thank you, Father, for your love, for your Father heart, that you want to be with us. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.